The following program is a presentation of the Flypod New Media Network. www.theflypod.com.
Flypod.com. I'm Mark DeWitt. Welcome to Cover to Cover. Today we have the New York Times best-selling author Stephanie Garber. She has a brand new book called Legendary. This is a carnival novel. How am I saying this?
I say Caraval, but people can say it however they want to. I'm never going to correct anyone on it.
Caraval, you know, it's almost like the candy bar, which is also magical.
Oh, I didn't know there was a candy bar. I knew there was.
Maybe there isn't.
Well, there's the ice cream. There's Carvel ice cream, and sometimes they like my tweets.
Oh, well, That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think they think I'm talking about them.
Oh, well, but you're not. You're talking about your books. All right, let's talk about Legendary. This whole book here, kind of magical, and it's a, would you say it's a story within a story? Maybe? Ooh.
No one's asked me that question.
I mean, it's a game, so...
I think that is accurate. Like, I never thought of it that way, but I think so. I feel like, the nesting dolls, kind of. I played a lot with those when I was a kid. My grandma would get them from Russia. And, maybe the books are kind of like that. Like, there's layers of stories. You think it's about one thing, but then it's really about something else. And then it's really about something else, because... I like big stories.
Yeah, but, well, you know, you might like them, but how difficult is that to write something like this? Because it's, you know, we start off with a little girl playing in her mom's stuff, which has magical cards and an opal ring that changes colors and all kinds of neat things. And she makes stories around that. And then in this land, there is the caravel, which is actually a game, I guess.
Yeah. So it's interesting because I wrote Legendary took me over 2 years, and I wrote about 7 very different drafts. So it wasn't like I just wrote a draft and then I revised it 7 times. So I feel like each draft like had piece of a story, and like the first draft, I got rid of almost the entire book.
After you did it?
Yes. Yeah. Almost the entire thing. But I kept a few pieces. And so even just like the opening where Tella, the main character, is playing in her mom's room, which I know I did a lot. I think that's where that came from, because I was always playing with my mom's jewelry box and I always had the favorite rings and I couldn't wait till my fingers were bigger so they could fit. But like that came later. I had started the story somewhere else and I was really excited because my editor was like, I think this needs a prologue. And I was like, yeah, I can write a prologue. So it was really, I think, even though I wrote like 7 very different books, 7 different endings, I took pieces of each story. So it was almost like a treasure hunt as I was writing, trying to find the clues, and then I put them all together, if that makes any sense at all.
You know, I was talking to an author one time that said he wrote down bits and pieces. He wrote down thoughts for the book, and then it was like a jigsaw puzzle. He kind of took all those parts and put them together. Is that something like you were doing?
I think that's so accurate, and I feel like that's how you should write a book. Like, I had, with my first novel, Caraval, that's kind of what I did. Like, I had these ideas, and they'd come one piece at a time, and they'd be big ideas that I wanted until I had all the pieces to put it together. And I'll be honest with Legendary, so Caraval, the first book, it sold really quickly, and it was like, we'd love a sequel, it was my first book, and I'm like, whatever you want, I'll do it. And when I wrote the pitch for Legendary, it was the sort of thing with my agent where she was like, okay, let's give them a pitch for a second book. And I wrote one. She's like, no, that doesn't sound good. And so I kept rewriting the pitch, and it was just one afternoon, and it was this one paragraph until my agent liked it. And it wasn't a story where I'd been thinking about the pieces for it. And so I think when I sat down to write that first draft that I checked 95% of, it was because I was just trying to write a story that I was like, here's something that sold. And then rewriting it was more me realizing like, I need to think about this. I need to find the pieces that I'm really excited. Kind of like with Tella in the jewelry box. Like, you have each of these little pieces she's so excited about. And I feel like for me, what I learned from writing this book is like, I can't just have an idea that someone else likes. I have to find all these things that I'm super excited about that I want to put in a book, and that actually fit together. So I think ideally it should be like putting a puzzle together.
You know, tell us, she was little looking at these cards. Are they more like tarot cards almost, but they almost come to life for her?
Yeah, that's a good question. So this isn't spoilery because you meet these cards in the prologue, and they're called the Fates. And the idea had come originally from like a deck of playing cards. I was thinking like, oh, I became like it was this one piece, and that was the one piece I took from that first draft. Like, what if the Jack of Hearts was like a real person who sprung to life from a playing card? And I had that idea. But then I was like, oh, the rest of the cards, you know, the king and the queen could be interesting, but what about like the 10 and the 2? And so another image came to mind that like really inspired me, that I found on Pinterest. And it was from a Alexander McQueen fashion. And it was this woman with her head caged in pearls. And I was like, ooh, she looks like she could be a character on a card. So I was like, what if instead of having playing cards, I created my own type of tarot cards, but that were like Greek gods meet tarot cards. So they're not tarot cards. They're also more like these Greek gods, these mythical characters. So it's like, I call them the Fates and people use them to predict the future, but there's more to them because younger, I was obsessed with Greek mythology. So it's kind of like I combined my love for that with like my interest in like, ooh, I think fortune telling and stories is so fun. So I put those two together. And so that's how I see these cards.
Stephanie, with Legendary, of course, you had your very first book, and usually authors are given maybe like a year to turn around another book. Was that the same for you, or did you have, you know, whenever you got to it, you got to it?
Oh, wow. Yeah. So I had sold Caraval, and the next book, originally Caraval was supposed to come out in fall of 2016, and the date got pushed back to January of 2017, which ended up being a really good thing. So for any authors out there, if they change your date, like, it can be great. Like, I appreciated the extra time, but so I had, like, at first I had more leeway. My second novel, the original due date was supposed to be October of 2016, around the Caraval's original release. So it would have been like a little bit a year after Caraval had sold. And I did. I turned in the first draft at that time, but I had to get rid of the whole thing. So from there, my editor, thankfully, was really flexible about time. I feel really fortunate in that area. I know most authors, it's like, okay, you have like a year a book. And I remember even shortly after Caraval sold, another author who I really, really respect was like, don't be afraid to ask for more time. And which can be a scary thing because it's like, you want to keep going. It's like, okay, I've finally gotten in this world. I want to keep having my books out. But I did. I asked for more time when I needed it because I also was like, I don't want to disappoint my readers. And I wanted to do a good job for this story and these characters. So fortunately, it was originally, I think, supposed to be like 1 year, but I asked for more time, and I was given it, thankfully.
Yes, I mean, some authors, they come out, and I'm surprised, you know, it's been 4 years since this book, or, you know, like yours, a couple years. And, you know, when you were making this book, when this book was finished, more or less, and you said, I think I'm going to redo it, what was the feeling with that?
Well, it was just it was a first draft. So it was like, I'd spent like a year drafting this book, but I think because I wrote before Caraval sold, I wrote 5 books that didn't sell. And so I'd learned to let go. And I think, you know, knowing like I feel like I learned something from every book I draft, from every story I tell. And I knew it wasn't the right story. I knew I hadn't found the right story. So it was almost a relief when my editor was kind of like, so Steph, because I was like, I didn't know that that was the book. I could have revised it. I'm sure I could have revised it and it would have been okay. But I was thankful. Like, it was a relief to be able to rewrite it because I was like, I'd rather get this right. You know, I'm glad for the time. So the second and third and fourth time, it was a little harder, but I actually like revising. I like making things better. And so I love writing. Like, that's why I write. I love writing. I love words. I love stories. So like, it was a little daunting, but I was kind of excited to be like, okay, I can do this over and do it better.
Some people don't like to cut. They don't, you know, once it's finished, it's finished. It's my baby. Everything's perfect in here. You're looking at this a little different, and I think that it really paid off for you.
Thank you.
I mean, right now, this recording, number one on the New York Times bestseller. What's that like? I mean, here you are, you know, this is your second book.
Yeah.
And in two books, number one?
Yeah. I mean, I found out yesterday at the airport, so it's still like, I can't even put to words what it's like. I mean, like, I just wanted to, like, hug my parents last night because they were so supportive, but it's just been amazing, and I'm so thankful to, like, the readers. Like, I really have amazing readers, and I feel like I just have had been supported by a really awesome team of people, everyone at my publisher, and just, it's, so I'm just incredibly thankful. I'm really, really thankful. But it's the best feeling ever. It's amazing and just such a huge, shocking surprise. Like, for so long, I was just like, I just wanted to see my book on a shelf, you know, and writing books that no one even would read. I remember when I went on submission with a book that didn't sell, I would get really excited when editors would reject it because it meant they looked at it. And I would be happy just knowing like someone looked at it, even though they passed. And so this is just, I mean, yesterday I thought I was going to pass out at the airport because it was just, I was so lightheaded. It was so surreal. I was just like, I don't know. I felt every emoji in my phone.
Now let's talk about that first book.
Yeah.
Tell me about that. So that will whet my appetite in a sense. So I want to go out and get this one.
Ooh, okay. Yes. So the name of the first novel is Caraval. But Caraval is also a game, and it's this once a year sort of traveling performance game. And, it's a group of performers, and every year they go to a new city and they never return to the same place. And it's run by Master Legend, and no one knows who Legend is. And it starts, Caraval starts with Scarlett, who's a girl, and she's been writing letters to Legend for 7 years, asking him to come to her small island for her and her sister because they want to play the game. And then finally they get tickets. But when they go, they're told to remember it's only a game. No matter what happens, don't be swept too far away. And magical things happen and terrible things happen. People get killed. People disappear. And my characters and hopefully the readers start to question what's real and what's not. But in a very magical setting where streets take you different places every time you go down them. And instead of paying for things with cash, you pay with memories and days of your life and your voice and things like that. So it's a magical world where you're not sure what the rules are. So I kind of think of it as like Disneyland come to life. Like if you're riding on the rides and Pirates from the Caribbean jump out and play with you.
Well, that very first book, I mean, all the magic and the game and everything, how did you come up with that story?
Yeah, thanks. So it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier with like the puzzle pieces. So I kind of found like it piece by piece. So at first there's a historical fiction young adult novel named Codename Verity. If anyone's read it, you'll know it's very different from Caraval. Historical fiction, no magic. It's an awesome book about two best friends, and one girl is a pilot during World War II, and her job is to ferry people around Europe. And there's a scene in a book. It might not even be a scene, just like a page. And she is sent to pick up these three men, and it's two men, and they're guarding this other man. And she has no idea if the man they're guarding is someone really important for the war effort that needs to be protected, or a really dangerous criminal that needs to be kept from escaping. And it's just like one page. We never find out who it is. And that question stuck with me because I loved the idea of it. I was like, I love that this could be either one. And so from there, I had the idea of a game. Like, what if your life becomes a game and these performers come into your world, but you don't know who's a performer and they're telling you lies and someone might come into your home and be like, oh my gosh, you need to help me. You know, I'm in danger. I'm lost. My first idea, I think, was like, I'm a lost prince. Help me. And then like the person hides them, and then other people come and they're like, this person's a dangerous criminal. Stop them. And then, but all the meantime, you're told like everything's a game. So you don't even know, like, is this person in your house a criminal or is it a prince? And, or is it just all part of the game? And so that was my loose thought, just kind of like, what if there's a game that invades our reality and we get to play it, but we don't know what's real and we don't know what isn't. And for a long time, we didn't know what to do with it because it's like, how do you write about a game when you're telling everyone a game and have stakes? And then I was watching Baz Luhrmann's The Great Gatsby. And it was that scene that I think even if you haven't seen it, you've probably seen like the gif. I still don't know how to pronounce that word for it, where Leonardo's holding out the champagne and there's the fireworks going and the people dancing and it's just bright and bold and totally over the top. And I was like, yes, this is what I want this world to feel like. Like, I knew I had the game, and then suddenly watching that movie, I was like, I want to write the book that feels like this Baz Luhrmann movie. And I think my like original inspiration was like Baz Luhrmann meets Florence and the Machine. So I knew like the world, I wanted it to be like dangerous, but somewhere I wanted to spend time in, somewhere colorful and bold and like totally over the top. So I had those two pieces. And then the third piece came, if you pick up the paperback of Caravelle in the back, there's an early draft of my opening letters where it was very different. My main character, Scarlett, didn't have a sister. I think she had brothers, and she was writing letters to the person who ran Caravelle. And I couldn't get further than that because I didn't have the pieces until one day I was listening to the radio and the Fall Out Boy song Centuries came on. And I wish I could sing because I would totally sing it. It's an awesome song. And one of the lines said, some legends are told, some turn to dust and to gold, but you'll remember me for centuries. And I might have that a little long, but just the idea of like the word legend stuck out, and the idea of like someone being remembered for centuries. And so that's where I got the idea for a character named Legend, because I had actually like years ago, I picked up a book called Legend thinking it was about a character named Legend. And it's an awesome book. It's by Marie Lu. I loved it, but there was no character named Legend. And I'd always wanted to read about one. So suddenly I was like, what if I wrote about a character named Legend? And I put that song on repeat and I was like, who the heck calls themselves Legend? Because I was like, of course, he gives himself that name. And so suddenly I knew like he was in charge of Caravelle, and that gave it another piece. So I knew I wanted to be bright and colorful and then ran by this mysterious person who, you know, has the audacity to call himself Legend. And so it was like those pieces were like the big pieces that came into play that I all put it together. And then the story kind of formed organically from there.
You know, Prince gave himself that name, Prince. His name is easy enough to find. In Legendary, though, the second book, mm-hmm. we have Tella. She's trying to, well, she's might be in a little trouble here. She might not be. You'll have to read the book to find out. But she's trying to find out Legend's name.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems kind of dangerous. Is it a game or not? That's a question here mm-hmm. in the book, I guess. But, you know, this book starts out also with Tella and they're trying to get away from their father mm-hmm. because he is going to set his other daughter up with a husband. And she just doesn't like that. Maybe the cards told her not to, I guess?
Yeah. So in the first book, the other big piece is that Scarlett and Tella, they have a very abusive father. And Scarlett thinks her answer is this arranged marriage. Because I kind of also liked the idea of a girl who wanted her arranged marriage to happen, because there's always stories like the girl's fleeing from it. But I'm like, I would imagine some people would want it. And even talking to people like, you know, I've met people like present day who I know who want arranged marriages, like that's what their families have done. And so with Scarlett, she wanted this arranged marriage. But Tella, you find out pretty early on in Legendary, like saw that it was going to be bad news from these fortune telling cards. So she decided she wanted to stop it. So she, you know, she felt like this urgency to get her sister away. And I love the idea that like each sister wants to protect each other, but in very different ways. Like Scarlett thinks marrying someone is going to give them both the security they need. And Tella thinks, no, saving my sister from this marriage, having her not marry this man she's never met, that's what's going to save us both. So I love that they want to save each other, but they want to do it in really different ways and can't seem to agree.
Legendary, put this book into a category for me. Would you call it fantasy? What would you call it?
I would call it fantasy, yeah. Young adult fantasy, although I think there's a crossover potential for adults. So yeah, I usually, Caravelle I would say was, you know, the Night Circus meets Moulin Rouge. I don't know that I have the comp titles for Legendary yet. Maybe like The Greatest Showman meets The Game? I don't know.
Yeah. But you know, it's kind of cool because we do have that game in here. You know, I thought this book, You said it's for young adults, but man, I find this book exciting. I just kept wanting to turn, you know, I just wanted to turn the page just to find out what's going to happen next. And that's kind of hard to do with a book, I think, a lot of times. And that's probably why it's number one on the New York Times right now. How do you do that? I mean, is everything visual? Is it written down? How do you write?
Thanks. Yeah, I often say, because it's true, I can't write a book, but I can revise one really well. I can revise one. I like to take feedback from people. And so with Legendary, it was a lot of revision, you know? And when I got to my second draft, that was much better than the first draft, both my agent and editor were like, the second half of this book is great. The first half of this book is really slow and it needs to go. So it was just really taking a look at that and seeing like what's working and what's not working. And I think being ruthless in it, and also like being in touch with like how I feel as I write. Cause if I'm ever in a scene, I'm like, oh, I have to get through this. It's like, no, I have to cut this and put something that makes me really excited to read. So I think it's like being aware of how I'm feeling as I'm reading. Cause I believe unless I'm feeling something 100%, like fully immersed, like if I'm not crying at the end of my story, when my readers should be feeling emotions, like they're not going to feel anything. Like I think, you know, sometimes you read a book and you know what you're supposed to be feeling. I don't want readers to read that, feel that way. So, you know, I try to gauge my feelings. I give it to a lot of people to read. Like I have my editor, I have my agent, I have my critique partners that I trust, that I really, really listen to. And then I read a ton. I read a ton. I watch a lot of TV shows, and I think of like what makes me feel. And also sometimes it's like, what are the decisions I wish they would do? And I think what was fun about Legendary, what once I got the right plot and play, like Tella is a very brave character. She's really bold. If she needs something, she will go after it, even if she knows like, oh, this is a wrong path to take, this might be a mistake, but it's gonna get me what I want. So I think she's a fun character to follow, and she was super fun to write because it's like I can have her do these big bold things that, you know, maybe her sister Scarlett, who follows the rules, wouldn't be as inclined to do. And I don't have to explain why. You understand, like, yeah, Tella's going to go for it. She just knows what she wants. So I think those are some of the things. But yeah, I really try to get a lot of feedback in my writing. I think that's critical.
What about writer's block? It doesn't sound like you have a bit of that.
Oh, gosh. Well, I think when I do feel blocked, I feel like it's because I'm taking the wrong path. So a lot of times if I'm writing a scene and I can't move forward, I'll go back and see like what I haven't I set up right. You know, it's kind of like if you get to the airport, if you have your tickets, if you have, you know, your bags packed in the right way, like you can get on that plane. But if you go to the airport and you don't have your tickets, you're not going to get on. So I kind of think like, okay, if my scene isn't moving forward, what tickets don't I have? What do I need to go back and plant in the earlier scenes? So usually it happens because something's not there or it's not going on. But a lot of times like writer's block, like I have more ideas. Usually it's I have more ideas that like I need to like pare out and be like, okay, I can't put all this stuff in. It's too much going on. But I also think like sitting and taking time to really think and reflect about like what I want in my story. So like I'm working on third book in the series now, finale, and I took a month and I didn't write. I was just like, I'm just going to think about it. I'm going to think about all the things I want to happen in this book and the potential for all my characters. I feel like with each character we create, we're making a promise to a reader. If someone has powers, it's like, okay, we want to see them use the full extent of those powers. And so like, what are all the promises I've made to readers? What are the fun things I want to see happen? What are the terrible things I want to see happen? So I just spent a month getting myself excited by brainstorming. So I think if you can, you know, build up that anticipation for yourself, then it makes it so much easier to dive into writing. And I think it's important to like keep the creative well filled. I think sometimes if I'm writing nonstop and not reading, not taking breaks, not doing other things, then I don't know if it's a block so much as burnout. Like that does happen to me.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb, but it's not going to be a real small limb that's going to break. But I'll bet finale mm-hmm. is going to be probably your last book in the series.
As of now, I think so. Like there are some characters I'd love to explore maybe in other stories, but yeah, this book should, like the Dragna sisters stories, all I can really say is because I'm still drafting the book, so things could change. It's from both Tella and Scarlett's perspective, and I hope to I wrapping up their story with it, like, so I'm really excited about it.
When I opened up Legendary, the first thing I noticed was this map. It wasn't really a massive map, maybe it was, but it's like two pages. When you're writing, how well do you know the place, or in your writing room, do you have the maps of all this up? So when you're writing, you're like, wait, I can't put this person here because, you know what I mean?
Yes, I do. And that's a great question. So with Caraval, like, I wrote that book. I didn't know if it was ever going to sell. I hadn't sold anything before. And I was just like, these descriptions sound good. So I'm going to put it in the story. I'm going to describe the canals in the world like an apple peel that's all spread out and, you know, circular canals. Like, there's a reason, you know, we have cities formed on grids. And so that was a really hard map to, like, describe for the map maker. And I'll be honest, like, I had ideas of what everything looked like, but where they were in space was not as clear. And so it caused problems later on. And so going into Legendary, I was like, all right, I need this map down first. I did have very loose, I mean, the map I sent was like rectangle, square, just labeled, but I had a very clear idea for Legendary where everything was. Like, I mapped it out. And even writing Finale, it's so great because I now have the map of where most things take place and I can reference it. And it's so much easier. So I think I'm learning more about maps. Like, I think it's nice to have the idea of, like, I'm not going to map it out, then I can create everything and have all the freedom. But I think really, no, giving yourself borders and guidelines and literal roads, like, lets you know where you can go. So I did a little better, I think, with Legendary. And I love maps, so I'm glad there's a map.
All right, so if I want to find out more about Caraval, if I want to find out more about Legendary, the second book, and soon maybe your last book in this series, you never know, where would I find out this information about Stephanie Garber and her books?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I'm the most active on Instagram, Stephanie_Garber. I post the most frequently there. I try to, like, respond to people when I can. I'll give updates about, like, what I'm drafting and pictures and just random things on Instagram. So it's like, that's the most up to date. And then my website, StephanieGarberAuthor.com. I have links to, like, writing resources. I have playlists. I don't update my blog as frequently as I do, like, Instagram, but you can find out a lot more there. I try to update the frequently asked questions about my books. You can find my appearances there. And then I'm on Twitter at @sgarbergirl, because when I created my Twitter account, I didn't think I would ever use it. So I didn't think about using my full name. But I'm on Twitter at @sgarbergirl. And then I also have an author page on Facebook. And sometimes I answer questions on Goodreads, like Facebook Goodreads, it's hit or miss. Sometimes I'll be on there a lot, and then sometimes it's like, I'm writing, I'm disappearing. Those are all the places I am online. And I try to, I love talking to readers and interacting. So I try to be as responsive as I can.
Wow, writer, the social media, that's fantastic. You do a lot of it. Legendary, a fantastic read. You know, you're going to fall in love with Tella. You're going to fall in love with maybe a lot of the characters. Some of the characters might be maybe people that you wouldn't fall in love with, but this book is a page turner. I didn't feel like I had to, I felt like this was a standalone book. Caraval, the very first book. Hey, check that out. Get into Legendary. And then I can't wait for Stephanie Garber's next book, Finale.
Thank you so much.
All right. Well, thank you, Stephanie. This has been Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with Stephanie Garber, author of her brand new number one bestseller, Legendary.
To access this or other audio programming, visit our website, theflypod.com.